Mount Cheehaw is my Everest, and the Coosa is my now. Alabama's where I was born and raised, and I think I'll stay a while.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. 35 minutes after the hour on this Thursday morning. So good to be with you. Still to come on the program today from Alabama Political Reporter. We'll welcome Josh Moon to the program. That's in the next hour. And then join us in studio for the bottom half of the hour. Alabama Republican Party Chairwoman Terry Lathan will be here. Make sure you stay tuned for that. But joining us now, always a pleasure to introduce my next guest. Been a good friend to me in my very early stages of my radio career here. Congressman Robert Aderholt from Alabama's 4th Congressional District joins us on the line. Congressman, how are you this morning?
Hey, good morning, Jeff. Yeah, good to be with you.
Yeah, it's great getting you on. Well, how are things going, particularly in your part of the state, COVID-19? It looks like we're starting to see a trend. It's at least a positive sign, but in your eyes, or in your neck of the woods, how are things going up there?
Well, it seems to be, I think, as you say, the trend seems to be going and down. So, of course, obviously, that's what everybody wants to see to get over this. But at the same time, you know, we crossed that 100,000 case mark this week in Alabama, which was sort of a monumental number. And you know, we're still seeing the effects of it. But I think people are wanting to get out. I spoke to my first group in person this week. I spoke to the Rotary Club up in Marshall County in Gunnersville, and I have done some various clubs that I've spoken, like Chambers and Rotary, on the on Zoom calls throughout this COVID. But this was my first time to speak in person, so it was actually nice to be in the same room with people and to see them. And I had a great turnout. So I think people want to get out. They're social distancing. They're, you know, have masks when they come in, and then of course they take it off to eat. But it's working out well. So I think people are slowly getting back to normal life.
Well, getting back to normal life, I think a big part of that is obviously looking at, you know, college athletics, high school athletics, getting back to school, be it college, junior college, K through 12. What are your thoughts on that, being that it is that time of year?
Well, obviously, I think most Alabamians, and I would say probably most Americans, want to see, I can't speak for all Americans, but I'd say most Alabamians want to see football back. I think the players want to get back, the coaches want to get back, and find a way to do it that's still reasonably safe for people. And so I think that's the direction we're going in. I mean, I know we're having some delays, and there's some changes from the normal year of fall football season, but I think generally speaking, people want to get back into some form of routine and see the, especially football, back in, playing and the players out on the field and, pulling for your team.
What about the schools? It seems like there's a school of thought out there that thinks virtual schooling, and then there's just people that, hey, that's very suspicious of that whole system, and that getting kids back into classroom is the way to do it.
Yeah, well, I will be honest with you. I have a 16-year-old, and he'll be going to the 11th grade, and so I tend to want to, if there's any way possible to get the kids back into school, I tend to be that the way that I like to go. And obviously it's not because we want to see him go off every day to school, but obviously I think he learns better in an environment where you're there with the other students and the teacher is there, as opposed to being on a Zoom call or whatever format they're using. So I think generally if the kids can be, it may have to be a little bit of delay, but I'm hopeful that at least by September, we can have kids back in school in some form or fashion.
Because that's really the hallmark of getting back to normal. I would think that would be one of the big boxes you need to check to get to at least get in that direction. Because once kids get back in school, then a lot of other pieces and parts to this whole crazy puzzle we're in right now start to fall into place.
Yeah. So I think, and it's just, you know, it's just difficult when you're, whether you're, you have a 16-year-old or whether you have a 10-year-old, when you know, they're at home all the time, it's different from what it normally is. And so I think getting back to school is one of the keys, as you say.
Congressman, let's move on to the fun world of electoral politics. First off, your reaction to Joe Biden naming Kamala Harris the vice presidential the running mate, or the presumptive nominee?
You know, I was I'm not surprised, as most Americans probably were not surprised, because they had been building her up, talking about her, that she would probably be the nominee. But I really don't see that she's just this wild candidate that is really going to transform things, because number one, you look for a vice president candidate. One of the main things that I always understood you look for is they come from an area that you might have some problems carrying that particular state they're from. And obviously, California is not one of those states that the Biden is going to have problems with. So if he doesn't win California, then he is in real trouble. So I, you know, she doesn't check the box there. She's not certainly not a conservative Republican. I'm a conservative Democrat, I'm sorry. She is more of a liberal Democrat. I think she's got some baggage when she was attorney general for the state of California, that I think a lot of that's going to come out. So I don't see it as really a home run, but you know, maybe if I was a Democrat, I would see it a different way.
Well, and it seems like it appears to be Democrats are they think they got it wrapped up, and they made her the pick because she seems like the safe pick. Are they just trying to make it? They're relying on the idea that this is a referendum on Donald Trump, which either one of those schools of thought or both of those, you know, that seems to be a risky bet.
Well, definitely it's going to be, they're trying to sell this as a referendum on Donald Trump. I mean, that is because I don't think anybody is really excited about Joe Biden in the White House, nor Kamala Harris. So they're selling it basically, you don't want Donald Trump, so you ought to vote for Biden and Harris ticket. And, you know, I just don't think that people that are supportive of Donald Trump, they're going to get out there, and I just don't see the energy in this. They're really trying to play it up. I've noticed on some of the national news station, they've been really trying to play it up, showing that Biden-Harris ticket is just going to knock it out of the park. But like I said, I just don't see it.
It's a fascinating thing because she didn't do that well in the Democratic primary, but how is this Kamala Harris any different from what we saw back in the fall? But to me, that signals what Democrats are trying to do in this election cycle.
Yeah, so I think they're trying to, you know, beat up on, they'll be constantly beating up on Donald Trump and saying that anybody is better than Donald Trump. But again, that doesn't really excite your base. And I think that's what you really need to do. And that's how Donald Trump got elected 4 years ago. Was he excited the base? And you know, if you don't take your base is not excited and really fired up, then you know, it's hard to get people that are on the fringes fired up.
Let's go down ballot somewhat. House representatives still a thin margin, relatively speaking, between the Democrats and Republicans with Speaker Pelosi there. You know, it seems like very early in this cycle, before COVID and all of that, that there was some optimism for Republicans getting the House back. Is there any optimism still? Do you hear from your colleagues about that?
Well, obviously, you know, we Republicans always want to be optimistic, there is a you know, we've got about 18 seats that we need, that we're down right now. And the question is can we pick up and that and plus a seat or two to get the majority? you know, to say that it's a sure thing, I mean, it's not. I mean, it's going to be a tough election year, especially in the different congressional districts where the Biden folks are going to be getting out. I say they're more the anti-Trump. I don't think they're really just so supportive of Biden, but they're just anti-Trump. I think we can pick up seats. I think it's entirely possible because of Donald Trump. He is going to be at the top of the ticket, and he is going to really help some members that really get the vote out to help them. The question is that nobody knows, is that will there be how many that can we pick up? I won't be surprised if we do pick up some seats. The question is, will we pick up 18 to 20 enough to take the majority? And, you know, that's something we won't know until closer on. I'm still optimistic that the Senate can stay Republican. I know that there's a three or four seats that are on the that are tossed up, so to speak, that are Republicans held now. But obviously, I think we're going to win the Doug Jones seat. So that'll be a pickup for us. And I don't think the ones that are sort of questionable Republicans that are having a hard time right now, I don't think we'll lose all of them. We might lose one or two, but I think that at the end of the day, we're going to still stay over 50.
Now, for the sake of our listeners here, this audience down here in Mobile in Southwest Alabama, your district, the only district in the country in the 16 cycle to get 80%, hit that 80% mark for Trump over Hillary. Are you still seeing that same level of enthusiasm for President Trump?
I am. I think it's stronger now than it was 4 years ago. So I'm very eager on. I may be completely wrong, but I think it's going to be well above 80 this time. And there's just a tremendous amount of support for him, and he is, and especially in the 4th district. I can't speak for the whole state, but of course, obviously, I do think the state will go for Trump, and that's. And I know you're going to have Terry Latham on the show, I understand, just shortly. And she can tell you even more details about that. But I think we're in good shape for Trump to win handily in the state of Alabama, for Tommy Tuberville to win the state handily. And, of course, we've got two open seats in Alabama's congressional district, 1 and 2, down your way, and District 1. And so I have... either talked or met with both of our Republican nominees in those districts, and they're running hard. They're, even though the districts are lean, lean Republican, they're pretty much, I think, safe Republican seats, but they're not taking it for granted. They're working hard, so there'll be two new members of the delegation come January.
Sounds like you're pretty happy with the slate of candidates, at least here locally, with Trump at the top of the ticket, but Coach Tuberville, that Senate spot, and then the rest of the ballot statewide.
Yeah, no, I was with Tuberville a couple of weeks ago. He was in Washington, but we were still up there, and he is again not taking anything for granted, and he's working hard. He knows that Doug Jones had raised about $10 million, and he knows that that's nothing to, you know, take lightly of. So he is going to be working hard, and they're raising money and getting the word out. But again, because Trump is so popular, and I think Trump is going to, well, obviously he's endorsed him, and so he will, I think do a great. I think he'll have an easy victory. But again, we don't want to take it for granted, of course.
And last question, we'll get you out of here on this. You hear these reports about COVID-19 relief, another package. The White House is reaching out to Pelosi, but whenever they get together, it just kind of ends in a stalemate. Is there any reason to believe something will happen on that before the November 3rd election?
There one thing that possibly could happen. I don't really see anything intimate that will happen. I think Pelosi made a comment even in the press yesterday that they're miles apart. We have to pass the 12 appropriation bills before October 1st. And October 1st, the government runs out of money. Now, we probably end up doing a continuing resolution, which is a long word for just basically bridging the gap from this year's appropriation to next year's on the same amount of funding, but for a certain amount of time. But we have to pass something by October 1st or before October 1st. there could be something that's attached to that, that we could see something, because we will have to vote on something come September the 30th. So I wouldn't say that until past election. I think there's a distinct possibility, like a stimulus check could be in the works for that.
Congressman, we got to leave it there. We're up against the break, but once again, I want to thank you for making time for us this morning.
Well, Jeff, it's always good to be with you, and look forward to hopefully seeing you soon.
Yeah, hopefully catch up this weekend at your big event. That was Congressman Robert Aderholt here on the program. We got to take a time out. We will return. This is the Jeff Porsche Show at FM Talk 106.5.
There ain't nobody looking back again. Cotton on the roadside, cotton in the ditch. We all picked the cotton, but we never got rich.